This morning, we're going to have an interesting time together. I remember when Wendy's, the restaurant, first opened. I said, wow, you're an old man. I remember when they first started. And the thing about Wendy's that really got me was that they had a single, and then they had a double, and then they even had a triple. A triple. I mean, we'd never seen anything like that before in our life. A triple burger. Three pieces of meat stacked on there between two pieces of bread. A triple. So that's huge. Well, what I want to tell you today we're going to do a Wendy's triple in our message, okay? There are three directions that we will be going, three things that we will do. Number one, since this is the first Sunday of 2007, we're going to do a review of 2006, like a state of the church. Where are we? Then after that, we're going to talk about this year, 2007, about our emphasis of going to the next level. And then to close out our message, we will introduce the Made to Count series that will take us through these next 8 weeks. You're asking, can he do it? I'm asking, can you handle it? All right, are you ready? You stay with us, because this will be one of the most amazing services that we'll have. Our church is 95 years old, and I can honestly tell you that I believe that 2006 was one of the greatest years in the history of our church. Now, a lot of great things have happened, but when you begin to see what took place this past year, I hope it will excite you, you'll praise God for it, and it'll get you ready for this next year, for this year, 2007. Let's just walk you through this. First of all, the first thing we need to understand is the mission of our church. The mission of our church, and I believe we got it. Let's play it on the screen. And as you see the mission on there, let's just read this together. Are you ready? To glorify God in worship, to reach people with His truth and love, and to equip believers to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Now, every part of that is important. As we glorify Him in worship, we reach people, use it through our Sunday school, through evangelistic opportunities, and we do it in truth and in love. And our desire is to develop all of us into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of Shades Mountain Baptist Church. And so, the question is, how did we do this year? Well, we have a 2010 vision. And at the end of 2001, we shared a vision with our church. And it was what has sort of been a guiding light for us to go through all of our ministries. And in 2010 vision is this. And our 2010 vision was, first of all, is that by the year 2010, that we would have missionaries called from Shades Mountain Baptist Church that have served and will be serving in all 24 time zones around the world. So how are we doing today? Well, if you take a look at a map today, we have covered 13 of those time zones. And having covered 13 of those time zones, that represents 26 family units and 73 people. So when you see those blue coloring there are 73 people representing a number of countries and four states here of where people are serving for the Lord that have come out from our church. That's exciting. And we still got about 11 time zones to go. And I know that we have two families right now that are in the kind of in the pipeline for missions. And it's our hope and desire that maybe in the next month or two, they'll be able to come forward and say, God has called us and we're stepping out and leaving the United States and going overseas to work in some other areas. That's exciting to know. The second thing of our 2010 vision is that we would plant churches in each one of the 11 International Mission Board regions. Our International Mission Board takes the world and divides them into regions. We have 11 regions. At this point in time, we have planted churches in 5 regions and are actively working on a 6th region. So we're halfway, really almost over halfway, because we feel good about the 6th one. That's exciting news to know. By the year 2010, we want to do mission work in all 50 states. And since 2001, we have done mission work in 28 states. So if you take a look at the map, you can see that 28 states, we got to attack the heartland of America, okay? Are you ready? And we have covered so much, and it's exciting. And you can see, I think Hawaii is still open, so that usually goes to new members. So some of you guys, today could be your day to join, and you could be the Hawaii person on that. But You can see the states that we have, and I just did some quick math. 5 years, 28 states. We've got about another 4 years, 22. Hey, we're right on target, and see if we can get all those 50 states. By the year 2010, we wanted to adopt a strategic focus city. We did that through New Hope, New York. We adopted New York City, and specifically New Brunswick, New Jersey, which is a part of all of that area. And not only did we adopt that area, but we planted a church there, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. By the year 2010, we want to plant at least 5 churches in the United States. And I can got good news for you that we've got those. Number one is our Crossroads Church right here in Birmingham with Andrew Jenkins as the pastor. The second church we have is the Iglesia Cristiana Agape Church, our Hispanic church in Hoover. And Dennis Chamberlain is the pastor there. The Point Church up in New Brunswick, New Jersey with Kevin Pounds as the pastor. And then out in Las Vegas, Grace Point Church with Devin Hudson as the pastor. And then North Valley Church in Margaret, Alabama, outside of Birmingham area. Chris Crane is the pastor, and they were starting a second location, and we helped them financially to get all their preschool set up and started. So you can technically say we've got 5. I call it 4.5, and we're still looking to come up with others to plant, and we've got some ideas already on some other churches that we want to plant. We still have 4 years left, so we're not going to stop at 5. We're going to keep going. And by the year 2010, we want to plant at least 1 church in Canada. Canada has a 2020 vision, and that is that they would plant 1,000 churches by the year 2020. So we signed up to handle one of those, and sure enough, it's a church that's entitled A Place Called Hope in Lethbridge, Alberta, and Scott Dollar is the pastor. And so that part of it has been checked off. So I want to tell you, the 2010 vision that we started years ago, we started about 5 years ago, we are seeing incredible progress. But now, let me go a little bit further and talk about our going. Since we've had this 2010 vision, we have encouraged people to get involved in missions. And this past year was an exciting year. International projects, we went on 17 international projects with 240 people. North America, we went on another 17 projects with 622 people that were involved. We started the year last year with 40 days of community, and we did about 67 projects within our community, and we involved about 1,600 people in that. And so when you total it all together, in the year 2006, we went on at least 101 mission projects, and we involved over 2,462 people in missions. And if you look around in a congregation, and that's great stuff. It's like taking every person that's here today and say, hey, they got involved on a mission project and began to do that work. That is incredible. Now, this past year, was just phenomenal from the progress that was made in our 2010 vision, from all of our people that are going out and getting involved in people's lives. And not just that going, and it wasn't just things overseas, but even translated here. We baptized more people last year than we have in 14 years. We had additions to Sunday school that were more than we've had in a long time. If we took the 3 years of Sunday school growth, it would compare to the 3 years of Sunday school growth of when we moved into this worship center back in 89, 90, and 91. I mean, just God is doing some amazing things as He's drawing people here, and our people aren't just coming to sit and soak, but to get out and touch other lives and to truly be Christ's followers into this world. And now that's exciting, and I love to see life change and people that are going, but then that also translates into our giving. And when you talk about giving and what comes into a church, we set budgets in our church to try to do ministry through those budgets. And then to try to encourage us to give, to be good stewards, and then take those funds and reach lives in there and send money to places where we couldn't go ourselves. So how did we do this year? Well, we set a budget of $6 million. It was the largest that had been ever set. And your pastor of vision was a little upset because I thought we should have gone like 5-9. I was a little scared to hit the 6 million plateau. And if you can look on there and get an idea of the graph of since 97, you can see how we have progressed in our budget. And the green is what came in, and the gray is what the budget was. So you can see right there that we set the budget for $6 million. And I was really nervous, didn't know if we could make that or not. Let me tell you what we came up with. The largest in the history of our church, $6,624,700 for our budget giving. Which is great. That was beyond anything that we thought of. And so it was just a praise God moment. Well, then we turned around and said, well, what about make Jesus known? For some of you, make Jesus known is a separate offering over and above our budget. And we set a goal that how much we'd like to give. And from that money, we give to ministries through the Birmingham Baptist Association. We do things in our state, things in North America, and things overseas. We help people with mission trips. We support children's homes, Save a Life, a number of different ministries. And out of this comes our Lighty Moon and Annie Armstrong offering, international missions and home missions. Our goal was $530,000. Again, it was one of the higher goals that we had ever set. And you can see where each year we were surpassing the goal. And so we set a goal here to go to $530,000 and hoping that we could make it. And so let me just show you what we gave this past year. We gave $702,900 to make Jesus known, which is unbelievable. Now, I want you to leave that graph up so you can see what incredible visionary your pastor is. You know what our goal is this year? 550,000. 550. Yes, I'm stretching the church. Man, you guys are ahead of me. I got to catch up with you. That is just unheard of as it just kept coming. And I'm going to lay this out to you right now. You say, well, you look at the budget number and you look at the Make Jesus Known number. Okay, what happened? Some guy come in and drop a $300,000 check on you. There were no extraordinary large gifts in Make Jesus Known or our budget. There was nothing out of the ordinary. So what does that mean? What that means is that our people are getting convicted and they're lining up with stewardship principles in Scripture and saying, you know, we're going to do what God has told us to do. We're going to step out. We're going to trust God. And some of you have taken giving to another level. Some of you have just started doing that. New people have come and said, hey, we want to start giving to it. And God has just honored that. It's beyond anything that we could imagine. So out of that Make Jesus Known, well, what do you do with a lot of that overage? Well, we took it and we wanted to increase our giving to Lighty Moon and Annie Armstrong. Now, if you're not a Baptist, you say, who is this Lighty Moon? Well, Lighty Moon was a missionary, and then we name our international missions offering for her. And usually during Christmas time, people collect money, and every dollar goes directly to the missionaries, directly to them. Nothing goes for administrative costs, but goes directly to them. And so about half of what the International Mission Board depends on comes from that one offering, Lighty Moon. Our goal was $150,000. This year, because of what you've done, we were able to give $220,000 to the Lighty Moon Christmas offering. And then Annie Armstrong, our goal for that, which is for North American missions, was $50,500. Because of what you did, we were able to give $80,500. So over $300,000 to those two missions offerings, and that is incredible. Okay? Now, you take a look at that, you say, this is incredible what God's doing there. How do we do overall? This is what the total giving of the church this past year. Total giving was $8,320,800. Now, a lot of these numbers just go over you. We just want to let you know $8.3 million, that's incredible. But this is the number I really want you to look at. Missions giving. $1,766,200. Went to missions, which means that 21.2% of every dollar that came into our church went outside the walls of our church and went towards missions. That is the highest ever in our history. Since we put our focus on 2010, and once we put our focus on the world, that percentage has been going from about 13-14% and climbing each year to where we're all the way up to 21.2%. And folks, that just makes my heart proud. And excites me about that to know that we are that committed to try to reach this world and to say, you know, I can't go to every place, but I sure can send my money to help others that are going there to do that. That's some good stuff. I'll also just mention to you, for those, we understand a cooperative program. We are the largest giver in Alabama to that. And this past year, in 2006, we will have given about $620,000 to cooperative program, which will be the first time in the history of the state of Alabama that anyone has gone over $600,000. Again, everything that comes in, we take 10% of our budget gifts and we send that to be a part of our cooperative program. So the last thing is, how's our journey of faith? Well, at the end of 2002, we initiated a project, we initiated a campaign entitled Journey of Faith. And it was a building program for our second floor, and then to change the front here and the back over here and to do some other things. And the project cost for our Journey of Faith was $6,470,000. And the project went great. Everything came in. We got the work done. We got it done quicker than they said we'd get it done. They came in under what their budget was. And they got us in right when we needed to be in, and even did some extra things for us. So it was a very successful project. Going into the year 2006, we still owed about $900,000. And so we asked people, we said, your three-year commitment is up. If you'd like, we've got one more year if you'd like to continue to give to that, and let's just go and see if we can knock this out in the fourth year. Well, I'm excited to say that from your gifts and what you gave, we reached 95% of our goal, which is pretty well what we planned. And then because you did so over and above in the budget, we took the overage from the budget and we put it towards there. And if you look up on the screen, we have now received $6,470,000. Bottom line is Shades Mountain Baptist Church is debt free. Okay? And some of you are saying, God, I wish that was my household. Wish we were debt free, right? That is just an incredible testimony. And what I want to show you, what that means when we say, well, we're debt free. Yes, it means that all the buildings are paid off, everything, we are debt free. Now, does that mean that we'll never go back into debt? No, that doesn't. The reason you went into debt was so that you could help get these buildings built. And we have another phase. And we'll be talking about that later this year of our master plan. And we'll be coming to you. And we're going to say, hey, this is what the goals are. Let's see if we can go for it. And it may mean, again, they say, hey, we may have to enter into debt. What you need to understand is what our staff is committed to, and our finance committee and our deacons, is that if debt is entered into, then we will always have a way to make sure that it's manageable, and it'll be paid off, and we'll work according to the plan that we have, and then trust God for His resources. And so, just an unbelievable outpouring of what God did in 2006. And I would be remiss if we didn't just stop for a moment and praise Him. And what I'd like to do is I want to ask all of our deacons, our finance committee, those that served in 06 and the three new ones that will be coming on in 07, and also for our staff, I'd love for y'all to come up here and just come by the altar. And to stand here for just a moment, all right? All of our staff, if you'll come forward, our deacons, finance committee, whether you're in the choir or up balcony, I want you to come down here. I want you to just kneel here or stand at the altar. And we want to have a time of prayer. And you say, well, why have you asked these individuals? These are the individuals coming forward that have a lot of the leadership responsibility for not only managing the funds that come into our church, but also helping to direct the programs and the ministries. And so there's a heavy responsibility placed on these folks. And I think we need to take just a few moments and praise God for what He's done and give Him the honor and the glory for just an amazing year. Because only because of what He did were we able to see these things take place. Okay? Everybody in place? Let me lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it was a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman talking about speechless. And that when we come into Your presence, that we're speechless. And Lord, having watched and seen unfold what took place this year, Lord, I am truly speechless. I'm just amazed at how You have poured out Your blessings on us. And I'm thankful for You, and I'm thankful for all that You've done for us as individuals, done for us as a church. And Lord, I'm also thankful for the membership of Shades Mountain Baptist Church and for the willingness to stretch out on faith. And Lord, whether it was financial stretching out or whether it was giving of their time to go on mission trips and to interrupt busy schedules and to say, no, I'm going to invest my life in some others for a while. And how You honored that. And to see the lives that have been touched over this past year, that's just incredible. And Lord, You are worthy of all of our praise and all of our thanksgiving. And so, Father, we acknowledge today that You are truly King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that you are the Lord of this church. This is your church, and we want to continue to follow in your steps. We want to follow the precepts of your teaching, and we want to give you honor and glory in everything that happens and everything that takes place. For these that are in front of me here that are kneeling, Lord, there is leadership responsibility that you have entrusted with them. And I pray that each one of them, myself included, would be wise stewards of the things that you entrust with us. Give us wisdom, give us knowledge, give us discernment as we continue to travel forward. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you. And we thank you that you have been able to do things that were beyond our imagination. And we realize that that's just the beginning. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you, folks. Well, you say, Danny, what's the theme for this next year? It's taking it to the next level. I got to be real honest with you. When I saw what was happening in the end of 06, I looked at God and I said, why couldn't 06 have been taking it to the next level? I said, we took it to a new level in everything that we did at this church. So God, am I like a year too late? I mean, should that have been it? And I got to be real honest with you. I shared this with our staff in April. And what happens is I begin now praying for 08 and saying, God, what is it that you want for us so we can start planning for 08? And back in 06, God kept placing on my heart this taking to the next level, taking to the next level. And what I thought it meant was we had turned a lot of corners, things were going good, and that we were going to settle in 2006. And we really needed to kind of energize our people to go up in 07. Little did I realize that what we did was we went way up here in 06, and what God's looking at me smiling, saying, no, Danny, you had the right theme, you just had the wrong reason. He said, what 06 is an amazing new foundation. And what we want to do is then go from there to another level. And what God is saying to us is, you think this was good? You think this was good? Wait till you see what I've got for you in 07 if you continue to trust me. You remember that time when Jesus was traveling with the disciples and that fig tree didn't have any figs on it and he cursed the fig tree? And when they circled back around, Peter was amazed. He said, look, that tree, it dried up just like you said it would. And Jesus kind of looks at him and says, that's fig trees. That's fig trees drying up. I got greater things than that. He said, don't get enamored with seeing that one little miracle there. He says, I've got things even beyond that. And when you think back to all that happened during their ministry with Jesus and all that happened, and you look at the empty tomb and the resurrection, fig trees being cursed was absolutely nothing. Well, folks, I want to tell you, God did some amazing things in 2006. But it's not like he's spent out. It's not like he said, well, that's it. I've done the best I can. He says, no, I'm ready for you to go to the next level. Now, there's a passage of Scripture, Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, you can either open your Bibles or we'll place it on the screen. And in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, the Apostle Paul, writing from prison, challenging these people, letting his church at Philippi, let them know of the love that he has, and it's a letter of encouragement, and as he's encouraging these people, he tells them in Philippians 3, he says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Look at that. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. Now, I've always been drawn to that word, press on. I press on. It's a Greek word, and it's called dioko. Dioko. Okay, you ready? When I say 1, 2, 3, you say dioko. 1, 2, 3. Bunch of Greek scholars here, see? Dioko. You say, what does that word mean, dioko? It means to pursue something zealously. It means to try to achieve something. It's the picture of someone that's running a race and they're just straining with everything they have so they can cross the tape and they can win the prize. I press on toward the mark. Dioko. It's an easy word to remember. It's an easy Greek word to remember. And I hope that this year we talk about going to the next level. You'll always think about press on. Dioko. Let's go to the next level. And we talked a little bit about this. It was about 2 months ago when I was preaching a message and talking about running this race and told you a little bit about what we want to do in 07 about going to the next level. Let me just hit a little review of that. What do you mean, Danny, by saying going to the next level? I want to challenge every one of you that's here, not every other one, not every other pew, not every third person, every single individual, and just as I'm challenging myself, to this year, go to the next level. Go to the next level. Whatever it may be, wherever you are in your life, I want you to take it up a notch. And there's four areas that we want to look at. Number one will be spiritually. Spiritually, how would you like to spiritually go to the next level? Just take it up a notch. Let me give you some ideas. How about reading the Bible all the way through? Now, we're going to be preaching out of the English Standard Version, so I'm reading the Bible all the way through on the English Standard Version. Pick whatever translation you want, but read it all the way through. How many times has somebody said, have you ever read the Bible all the way through? And sheepishly, you had to say, no, I really hadn't done that. Let's do it. You do it. It can take you about 15 minutes a day, and you can read the Bible all the way through. And we've given you a plan. It's on our website. If you go to our website, we've got a next level area. But even more so, some of you say, well, I'm not very computer savvy. If I was, I'd do it. Hey, I'm taking every excuse away from you. We have this, taking it to the next level, personal one-year Bible reading plan. And for $9.99, you too can have one of these. No, this is free stuff. And we have an area right under the map out there with the next level table, and it's got those check boxes. How many of you love to check boxes off? This is for you. I love to check boxes. So I said, Brian, put the check boxes on there. And it's got a plan laid out that'll take you all the way through December. And some of you say, well, you know what? I just know that last 2 weeks of December, sometimes I just get kind of lazy. Good news, this thing ends on December 17th. So there's no excuses that you've got. Some of you may say, well, I haven't even started. It will not take you that long to go through 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, and then Daniel. And you can already be caught up on that, okay? So take it to the next level. Lead at least one person to Christ. You've talked about it. You've thought about it. Make a plan to say, I want to lead at least one person to Christ. Maybe this year it is spiritually, we'd like to take a mission trip. Maybe as a family, maybe as an individual. You've never taken a mission trip. How about taking it up next level and say, I'm going to take a mission trip. You say, well, I would if I knew what they were. I'm so glad you asked. We have for you Mission Opportunities 2007. They will also be out there. There'll be people that'll be handing these out when the service is over. Sit down, take a look at all the different opportunities we have, plan your calendar out, plan your finances out, and say, you know what? We need to do that. Almost 2,500 people got involved in a mission trip. How about you? Did you do anything last year? You say, well, I really didn't. This year, take it to the next level, okay? Let's just go up one more level on there. So whatever it may be, spiritually, I'd love for you to just dial it up a notch. Take your quiet time, dial it up a notch. Get up a little bit earlier, just dial it up a notch and say, I'm going to go to the next level. Spiritually, physically, whoa, physically, next level. What do you think about? Every year, almost every year you've made some type of New Year's resolution. I'm either going to lose weight or eat less. And some of you said, I'm going to eat more. I want to be bigger. All right, whatever. But you set these resolutions. And so physically, can you take it to the next level? Can you take it to the next level? I tell you, we have got a health expo this Wednesday night. This Wednesday night. Starts at 3:30 and we'll go all the way till 8 o'clock. And you've got in your worship guide, you've got a brochure on it. I encourage every person to be here. Do you see all the things that will be there? Everything we have is free except for there's one screening. I think it costs like $13.50 and they'll figure out all your cholesterol levels and everything else. But everything else is free. And you just come and take part of that and try to find out where you are. You say, well, Danny, I think we're probably a pretty healthy group. We did a church-wide survey and we had 1,000 people send in, complete the survey. So that's a pretty good sample. And that survey came back and showed these are some of the situations in our church. 28% of the membership of our church are clinically overweight and at risk for chronic health conditions. 28%. 35% of our respondents said that a doctor told them that they have high cholesterol. 25% say that a doctor told them that they have high blood pressure. Now, every one of those statistics are higher than the goals that health officials have set for 2010. All three of those. And so I'm just telling you as your pastor, let's take good care of the temple right here. Okay? Let's take good care of the body, because it says that Christ's spirit resides in our heart. We're the temple for him to reside in. And so we need to take good care. So how about this year being the year where we say, I'm ready to go to the next level, whether it's dealing with blood pressure, dealing with cholesterol, or just getting in shape. And I told you back in November that I had made a commitment and that I was going to the next level and I was going to run in a 10K. And I did. I ran in two of them and survived. And so I did the 10K. Well, that was 2006. So what's going to happen in 2007? I ran in a 10K over the Jewish Community Center, and there was a pastor friend of mine, used to be a friend, who talked to me, and he says, have you thought about running a marathon? I said, yeah, I've already dismissed it, because it's on Sunday, and it's the Mercedes Marathon, and that's on Sunday. I'm in the middle of a sermon series, and it sounded so spiritual and so nice. He looked at me, and he said, no, I'm talking about the Georgia Marathon. I said, when's that one? And he said, March 25th. He said, spring break. It's on a Sunday. It's in Atlanta. Aren't you from Atlanta? Yeah. And he said, you can go online and you can get a training guide for 18 weeks. And you know what? Today's the beginning of 18 weeks if you map it out. He says, about three or four of us are going to go over there. You need to try that. I kind of dismissed it, went home. I checked the website, started looking at it, began to get a little convicted. I said, okay. All right. So I'm training for a marathon, okay? I'm going to go to the next level. You're my accountability group, all right? March 25th in Atlanta, the first ever Georgia Marathon. I'm going to try to stumble through the gates and be there. Now, yesterday I ran 12 miles, so I'm getting closer to it. I was thankful I didn't have to baptize anybody today. Oh, I don't think I can get you up. But that's next level, okay? That's where we're going. So what I've done is I've set a physical goal that I thought I would never do. All right? Something I said I would never do. Sounds like an Alabama coach. No, just kidding. All right, listen. All right, don't send me the tear offs. All right, come on. All right. But it is. I mean, I'm sitting there saying, I would never run that far. I never want to do that. But you know what? I said, take it to the next level. I said, you know what, Lord, I want to try to do this. And it's a great thing to have a goal like that, but it makes sure that I'm trying to keep in shape and to physically accomplish some things that I never thought that I could do. So what do you think about 2007? Physically, what do you think? What could you do to go to the next level? All right? Let me tell you this third area, relationally. Relationally. Look at things on how to strengthen your marriage, how to become a better parent, strengthen friendships, relationally. How can you take some things to the next level? You keep talking about being a better husband, being a better wife. Well, why don't you do that this year? Why don't you just incorporate some things? Are you tired of every year looking at someone and saying, you know I just don't spend enough time with my kids? Well, then do that in 07. Turn it up a notch. And what about those friendships? You say, you know, we really need to get together more, but we just don't. Turn it up a notch and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to the next level. Last of all is financially. Financially, or a stewardship standpoint. What if this next year you said, you know what? I'm going to try to live within a budget. I'm going to try to live within a budget. This debt is killing me, and I'm ready to try to live within a budget. This is the year. What about some of you that say, you know, I've never tithed before. I want to do it. Listen, we had the greatest year financially in the life of our church, and not one member contacted me and said, Pastor, I got to talk to you. He says, you know, I tithe this year and I'm gone bankrupt. It's just killed me. I've not had one member come to me and say, I've suffered because I've tithed. There are a number of members that have kicked it to a new level. And guess what? God's been honoring it. So maybe this could be it. The year where you say, you know what? I think I'm going to tithe. I put down here Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. Some of the greatest material we know to help you is you're struggling with debt and struggling with a budget. We have those classes. We're offering them. They'll be starting sometime next week. Keith, when is that? In January, near the end of January. But you can start signing up for it and begin to sign. We have people that are trained to teach us. So you see what I'm saying? Let's take it up to the next level. My goal, my desire for all of our church is let this be the year where all of our I wished I could have, my hope fors, my one day I'm going to do it things, that this will be the year. This will be the year where we take things up to the next level. So what would encourage you to do that? What would motivate you to go to the next level? Spiritually? Relationally? Physically? Financially? What would do that? Well, I tell you what motivates me, and that is to know that God has created me with a purpose and with a plan. And that He created me, and He made me to count. And that is that we are His, and that God created us and created us for a wonderful plan and a purpose. We're going to be studying a Made to Count. And for these 8 weeks, this week and then 7 following weeks, we will be talking about Made to Count. And I liked in the book where it said that the greatest fear that people have is that when my life is over and done with, that my life would have no significance. And they said it's a difference of a handprint in cement versus a fist in the water. And when you put a handprint in the cement, that impression is there for a long time. Made an impact. But when you take your fist and you stick it in the water, as soon as you pull it out of the water, there will be some ripples, but after a while, everything will smooth back. You don't even know that you've been there. See, I want us to have that handprint, and that's the way God has created us. And that He created each one of us so that we would count for something. Now, there are 8 principles, and the principle that you'll be studying in Sunday school, principle number 1, is that God prepared a unique plan and calling for your life even before you were born. This is incredible. Is that God created a plan for you, and He had this plan even before you were born. In Jeremiah chapter 1, let me just read this, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." I mean, even when you were in your mother's womb, I began to create you and shape you and gave you your temperament, your skills, your emotional, your intellectual abilities, and all of this stuff, just potential that you had, because I've got a certain call and a plan for you. And it wasn't just for Jeremiah, it's for every one of us that He's done this. Every one of you was created to count. Every one of us was created to do something for Him. We're no accidents. We're not just folks that came and you said, well, you know, if you'd been born this person here, you really got a great mission in life. But the folks over here, you're just going and just do what you want to do. God didn't really have something special. No, He has something special for every one of us. And to understand and to know that He created you, and just as He has a plan for Billy Graham, He also has a plan for you, the stay-at-home mom. He has a plan for you, the lawyer, you, the medical doctor, you, the accountant, you, the coach, you, the school teacher, you, the student. He has a plan for your life that He can be able to use you right where you are. You're called. Every one of us is called. And it was interesting to look and see that that when you look up in the dictionary, the word vocation, and we talk about our vocation, the word vocation, we get our word vocation from the Latin root of the word that means calling. And so when we were putting together the English language, when we looked at your vocation, your place of employment, your vocation is a calling. It's a divine appointment. For 8.5 years, I worked with the phone company, with the Bell system. That was my vocation, but it was also a calling. And God says, Danny, I want to use you there, not just to sell PBXs and to sell data lines and stuff, but I want to use you to impact people's lives. And it's the same for wherever you are now. There are people in this church that have made decisions for Christ because a child made a great witness in their own classroom to a teacher. And a teacher was so impressed with that encouraged her to come to this church. There are children that have made impressions in their classroom and have taken on other children and have prayed for them and showed them love. And those children wanted to come and see where they could be treated like this. And they got their mom and dad and they came, and all of a sudden we saw decisions made in the families because the child understood you bloom where you're planted. Teenagers, you've got an opportunity. God's given you those years to be in high school. Why? Just so I can prepare for college? That's important. But He's put you there because there will be people that will intersect your life that He wants you to touch. You've got a calling. You've got a purpose. College students, same thing. Adults, whatever it is, whatever you feel that God has you set up, He has you there for a specific purpose and a calling. There are lives to be touched. And that we are to help people become fully devoted followers of Christ. And you can do that. And I'm telling you, lay people, you've got a better opportunity than I do. I don't have that opportunity to rub shoulders with lost people day in, day out. And you have that opportunity when you're out in the business world and wherever it is that you are, you get to see people that I don't get to see. And you're able to live a life for Christ that when you live it, when I live it, they say you're paid to live it. But when you live it, it's because you've chosen to do that. And it's incredible to know that God has placed you right there for you to count for something. That's great stuff. And what we're going to look at over these 8 weeks is made to count, understand the principles, and to know that God created you, and even as you're being knit together in your mother's womb, that He's got a plan for your life. That would excite me to go to the next level. Because you see, I don't want to go through 2007. And when someone reviews 2007 and they looked at me and they said, Danny, what was it more like? Was it like a fist in the water? Or was it like a handprint in cement? I want the handprint in cement. I want to know that I made a difference. And every one of you here can have that happen. Now, I don't want to say glorify, that's the wrong word. We lift up missionaries. And we should. And we're like our heroes. And when someone's been called, and we do great stuff as a church. But I never want us to think, well, the missionaries, they're really spiritual. And me, I'm just a business person or a school teacher. No, I'm telling you, we're on the same level. It's just that God has a different call. But your call is just as important where you are. And just as we pray and say, I hope they don't miss their call to missions to go overseas, I'm praying for you. I hope you don't miss your call for where God has you for this year. God has you working in a business. He has you there for a purpose. So what's it going to be this year? Whose life are you going to touch? Made to count. You are created to count wherever it is that God has placed you. We got a great opportunity today to kind of look at someone who has a life that has been made to count and is getting ready to take a next step that I want us to celebrate with. I want us to look at a video of one of our members, Tom Davis. Tom Davis was introduced to you back in 2003 when we did a sermon series, and we did a series about real people, real life, and real faith. And so I want you to get a little bit excerpt of his testimony.
My name's Tom, and I'm an alcoholic. I was saved in the Baptist church, in our First Baptist Church of Snyder. I was about 7 years old, saved and baptized, but something happened in my life. It just didn't seem that I could live the kind of life that people expected of me. I started drinking when I was 10 years old, and from the very first beer, I may not have really liked the taste of that first beer, but I loved the effect. How it made me feel. All of my cares and all of my worries and frustrations just evaporated with that beer. I drank for 34 years, and in that time, nothing mattered. Nothing mattered at all. People didn't matter. Families didn't matter. And I hate to say it, but it's the truth. Children didn't matter. And my alcohol of choice or drink of choice was tequila. I loved tequila and bourbon and rum. But I would drink 1.75 liter of alcohol every 2 days. I'm the kind of drinker that was a blackout drinker. There's many, many days, months, years of my children's lives that I simply don't remember. My past is littered with the casualties of my children, my wives, my employer, all of the people I knew and all of the people I associated with, I wanted something from them. And I was willing to give of myself only enough to get what I wanted. I could never imagine the pain that an alcoholic or an addict feels their entire life. The hopelessness, the being lost, the being just totally worthless. if I sit back and I rest on my laurels and I say, oh, well, it's been a nice ride for these years and I'm happy, joyous, and free, then I'll be drunk. It has to be a daily maintenance. With His help and with His grace, I will celebrate 9 years of sobriety, February the 17th of this year. I can talk to an alcoholic on their level because I feel like them. I think like them. I am like them, except I'm sober. And I would picture God and I walking on the beach in South Florida where I got sober. And we were walking side by side. And I would look at him and he would look at me. And he wouldn't say anything, but he would just smile. And I can't tell you how warm, how loving that smile is.
Tom, why don't you come on up? Tom and Joyce. We're so happy for you guys. Let's stand here just a moment. Okay. That's your family. These guys, y'all can be seated for just a moment. We wanted to bring them up to you to let you know, and Tom's got a great story to be glad to tell anyone, but almost 12 years ago when God got a hold of his life, he's been a different man. A privilege for me to kind of walk through some of those times with him. Started a recovery church here, and for a couple of years pastored that group, and has been very active in the AA ministry, and said, I feel God's called me to ministry. And went to New Orleans and seminary, completed undergraduate, I believe, is that right? Yeah, completed undergraduate. Now he's done the work on getting a graduate degree. And this next week, they'll be moving to New Orleans to complete that degree and to do the work that they talked about. There's a Bible study that he leads weekly, helps feed and give them God's word and also feed them physical nourishment. Joyce will be helping out with that and helping in that ministry. And it's just exciting to see where God is using them and is taking them along. And so this is a life that made the count and to where he said, you know, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to do whatever it takes. And so what I want us to do as a church family is I want us to pray for them and set them apart. And like we do for our missionaries, if you would come, and those that know Tom and others and Joyce, if y'all want to come, and let's just place hands on them and give me the opportunity to voice that prayer. And as a church, let them know that we're setting them apart and praying for them and rejoicing with them over here. I'll just step in. Scott, y'all come right in there. Heavenly Father, thank you for Tom and Joyce. Oh, man, Lord, they are just trophies of your grace. And I thank you that that you got a hold of his life and that you didn't give up on him. And that through the experiences, as difficult and as hard as they have been, that you will enable him to be able to minister to others and to those that are down and out and struggling with the addictions. And Lord, you put him right in the heart of it, right there in downtown New Orleans. And it's our prayer that you would protect them. You would strengthen them, keep them committed to you and to your word. And we pray for that ministry, and we pray for the multiplication of changed lives, and that as they continue to pour themselves into others, that you'll continue to use them in a mighty way. Know that they're always loved, they're always a part of our church, and they're part of our missionaries that we're sending out. And pray again, Lord, that you'll give them safety and give them guidance, and let them always point others to you and help people to truly understand what grace is all about. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tom. Made to count. Today we're getting ready to close our service and move to a time of invitation. And for you, this could be the time to say, you know, I'm ready as we move to 07 to have a life that will count for you. For some, you may have never made the decision to receive Christ as Savior. Today could be that day. For some, it could be to come and say, you know what? I'm ready to make this my church home. We talked about it in 06. Now it's 07. Let's get a great start. We're ready. We're ready for 07 to be a different year. And it could be that just coming and becoming a part of this church fellowship. And for others, this is your time of invitation. Whether it's to come to the front, you may want to kneel, you may want to pray, you want to make a staff member's hand. Whatever it is that God has spoken to your heart today, just respond to whatever He has revealed to you, okay? I want to ask you to stand. And as you stand, Michael, will come and help lead us as we sing our song of invitation. The cry of my heart is to know you more, to live with the touch of your hand. Let that be the cry of your heart. I'll be here at the front along with our staff awaiting your response.